Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This team is just sucking the life out of you. And the building is that way, and the fan base is that way, and Sabres Twitter is that way. So part of me kind of wants to almost talk Bills just because, like, I feel like I have been too hard on them the past couple of weeks. So the nightcap, Joe DiBiase, 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the show today. Yeah, I feel like I've been too hard on the Bills. The Sabres are making me think I've been too hard on the Bills because I've had questions all year about the football team and, like, how good are they really? Are they just having this season, this record, because of circumstance, because of what their schedule is, and because of what the rest of the conference is, and because of all these quarterbacks that have been injured around the league, and Philip Rivers is shot, and all of these things that are out of their control that are helping prop them up towards probably making the playoffs. And then you watch the Sabres, and it's like you would be begging for that with the hockey team right now. So, you know what? Like, it's got to be done. It's November 20th. The Bills are 7-3, but here we are again with the Sabres. It's the same song and dance year after year after year after year, and then double that. And I'm still accurate because it's been 8 years since this team was legitimately good. Ralph Krueger on this morning. We'll play some of that back later on in the show, so stay tuned for that. Good stuff with him on with Howard and Jeremy earlier today. And you have to question his job right now. You have to question the general manager, who I believe that if this season continues along this path in the Sabres, especially the path they've been on in the last couple weeks, like if this season starts to get off the rails, and we're talking about a team that's not even in a playoff race, like I don't think, before I even go down this path, I don't believe that Jason Botterill needs to make the playoffs for him to be this team's GM again next season. But to me, he's got to do something to make it look like he's trying to make the playoffs. And it needs to get them close. And to their credit, they banked away enough points in the first few weeks of the season to where we're sitting here today, and I haven't seen them play good hockey in maybe 3 weeks. Well before the Sweden trip, a couple games before that. Is really the last time that you could sit here and say, yeah, like, they're good. Remember, like, a month ago? Not even a month ago. We were discussing Ralph Krueger as a Coach of the Year candidate. And I was talking about, hey, if the Sabres are this good and they make the playoffs, and Jack Eichel is top 10 in scoring, like he still is, by the way, Hart candidate. Hart nominee. Maybe even win it. Taylor Hall a couple years ago, 93 points. Nobody else on the team had anywhere near that. They made the playoffs. That was enough to make him the MVP of the league. Those were the discussions we were having. Like, hey, can they actually? It's the same thing as last year in November. But there was more substance. There was more to go on to think that this thing was actually sustainable. Their numbers looked a lot better. Where their scoring chances were coming from looked a lot better. The quality, not just the quality, the quantity of their scoring opportunities was at a higher rate. They had the puck more often. Their puck possession number is a lot higher this year than it was last year, at least at the beginning of this season. You just watched them on the ice. You could see that they had defensemen that were much more capable of moving the puck up ice in transition to their forwards. Hell, even Rasmus Ristolainen was playing better. A guy who's been basically the same player for 6 years even looked better at the beginning of the year. Marco Scandella looked better at the beginning of the year. The goaltending looked better at the beginning of the year. Everything was going well. All of it. And a lot of the credit went to Ralph Krueger. And a lot of the things that would make you think, hey, maybe this thing is a little bit, like, is this thing sustainable? A lot of the signs and the signals that you would look for to tell you that were there to at least some extent. Now, they weren't playing well enough to think, all right, this really is the best team in hockey, because for the second year in a row, the Sabres found themselves at some point a few weeks into the season, last year was a month in, they found themselves first place in hockey. Now, these signals, to me, weren't pointing out the Sabres are the best team in hockey. But unlike last year, it was, all right, we've got, they keep playing like this. This is a playoff team. And here we go again. 2 wins in their last 10, 1 in their last 9. And they're right back to looking like one of the worst teams in hockey. That's how they've been playing. And what makes it even more frustrating is it looks the exact same. It's the same characters. It's the same. It almost looks the same everything. Except the coach is different. Hell, even the jerseys are the same color. How long have we been screaming for Royal Blue? I pointed out on Twitter earlier, like, I'm looking for things to be happy about with this team right now. Things to be excited for. Things to be optimistic about. And, like, the only thing I come up with is the fact that they're going to be finally changing their jerseys next year to a color we've been screaming about for 6 years. It took them long enough. And that's the only thing I can really point to. What else is there? It's so tiring. I'm so sick of watching these same guys over and over. Yo, Chope and the Bulldog were bringing up like some interesting like players that Larson and Girgensons have played with. And like I'm looking back at Girgensons played on that Amerks team during the lockout shortened year that played in Buffalo a few times. Like I remember that team going to the arena to watch the Amerks. The Sabres weren't playing. I missed hockey. I missed the NHL. The Sabres were actually relatively competitive at that point. They had just made the playoffs like a year before or a year and a half before. And here comes Zemgus Girgensons, first round pick. He's going to be playing in the AHL. We're going to get a nice look at him. It's someone to be excited about for the future. Someone to watch on the Amerks. And the other guys in that team were like Cody Hodson and Marcus Foligno. Mark Mancari was still on that team. Remember him? That guy played for the Sabres, what, 13 years ago? He was on that team. The biggest failure of this general manager from this past offseason, he did not do the one thing that is easy to do and that he needed to, and that was to change out the bottom six. How many times do I have to mention this line? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I'm sick of saying that. But how long is it going to take before the Sabres act like they get that? Because they brought back a lot of the same pieces. And some of the pieces, you know, there was reason to think like they could help you. Larson had, I thought, a pretty good season last year. You could have brought him back. And he would have been a fine fourth line center for you. I liked him at the beginning of the year. Kyle Okposo, you weren't getting, it was going to be really hard to get rid of at that salary cap. Double digit goals last year. You know, in a bottom six role. All right, fine. I can stomach that. Because you're not moving that contract. Evan Rodriguez, yeah, nice season last year. Second power play unit, puck carrier, nice versatile player. Can play the wing, can play center, penalty kill, power play, second line, fourth line. He can do it all. He's like a little Swiss Army knife. He's not even that little. Was he 6 foot? Shouldn't talk. I'm 5'8". That opened at the beginning. Tall, cool dude. That's leftover from Ryan. Then you've got Girgensons, former first-round pick, former NHL All-Star. You know, fourth line, fine. He's fast. He's gritty. He'll chip in a goal once in a while. Not as much as you'd hope, but once in a while, he'll chip in. Sobotka, there was no argument for. Like, I'm going through, like, hey, you can make an argument for a lot of these guys. No argument to be made that Vladimir Sobotka should have been on this team to start the year. He was statistically the worst player in hockey last season. And he's being paid $3.5 million. That one is inexcusable. So, all in all, though, you can make an argument, hey, 1, 2 of these guys, you could have brought them back. But where was the sweeping change? Where was the roster surgery? And I know those weren't Jason Botterill's words at the beginning of the offseason. A lot of people think he said that. He did not. That was stuck on the Sabres by, I think, maybe like a Bob McKenzie or a Darren Dreger. Like, one of the reporters said that, like, they want to do that in the offseason. But Botterill didn't come right out and say that. But that doesn't mean that it needed to happen. And there has been no roster surgery. None. You added a couple of guys. Fine. But Where were the pieces moving out? You didn't have to bring back all of these guys. You could have made an argument for Girgensons. You could have made an argument for Larson to come back. You could have made an argument to make sure Oposo's in your lineup and not find a way to, you know, get $1 million in cap relief by sending him down or package him with like a first-round pick like Toronto did with Marlowe to get him off of your books. That one was going to be the toughest one. Rodriguez, same thing. Great argument to be made. He should have been back here. Larson, like all these guys, except for Sobotka. And you know what? Fine, if a couple of those guys came back. But all of them, really? Did that really need to happen? I look at a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have had injuries all year. Letang's missed a few games. Their goalie, Matt Murray's missed a few games. Malkin missed half the season, at least half of the season so far. Crosby now is out for 6 weeks. And look at Pittsburgh. Playoff spot, 25 points in 21 games, a plus 16 goal differential. Like, they're even better than the record shows right now. But you know what they do? And you know what Jason Botchel should have learned more than anything from the fact that he came up in that organization as an executive? You know what Pittsburgh does? Pittsburgh does not reserve depth role-playing positions to veteran guys that they know who they are. A couple of them, sure. Like, they've had Matt Cullens and Chris Kunitz's, even when he was late in his career. Like, they'll keep a guy or two around like that. But they provide an opportunity for young players that are in the minors to come up and surprise them. They'll give players that shot. Because for every, you know, every no name that you've never heard of that comes up and plays a couple games for Pittsburgh on their third or fourth line and goes back down because he's not that good, for every one of those, they have a Brian Rust, who's now playing on their top line and is a pretty good top six player. Like, he's an okay top six player when he's playing with a big name. For every one of those no-name guys, there's a Connor Sherry, who, again, not a superstar, but an undrafted player that has become a relatively pretty good top nine winger in the league. And when played with a Sidney Crosby, he'll give you 40 points. The Sabres don't give that opportunity to young players because they have all of this dead weight that is anchoring the bottom of the roster. And, like, do they really wonder why they're not good? Does Jack Eichel in the locker room not know why they can't get out of the basement of the NHL? He's got to know. He's got to know that when he's looking to his left, he's looking to his right in his locker room, and he's wondering, like, who's going to step up here? Who's going to do something tonight so that I don't have to be the entire offense of this team? And he looks to his left, and he sees Larson. He looks to the right, and he sees Sobotka, and he sees Girgensons. He sees Oposo. He knows what these guys can do. Everybody knows what these guys can do. So why are they still here? It doesn't make any sense at all. Especially when they have 1,000 NHL defensemen. Casey Nelson is like 5 injuries away from getting in the lineup. And he's not that bad an NHL defenseman. Like, on a third pair, he's fine. And he's so far away from ever having to enter your lineup. And part of me wants to defend Botterill on that. Like, at the beginning of the year, I wanted to. Like, hey, it's not the end of the world. Ristolainen is still here. Because you know what? He's just trying not to do what he did with O'Reilly. Feel like he needed to get a guy off his roster and feel like he didn't want to give up value that he felt should have been in a deal. But now we've reached a point where it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous the amount of NHL defensemen they have. It's so funny. Chad DeDominicus pointed this out on Twitter from Die by the Blade. Great analytics guy on Twitter. One of the better follows, I think, on Sabres Twitter. He pointed out yesterday that when you look at the Sabres forwards last night, their expected goals for rate, their best forward last night in that category was John Gilmore, who's a defenseman, who was not even a guy we mentioned coming into the year, by the way. That's not even Casey Nelson or Lawrence Pilot or Will Borgen. Like, who's John Gilmore? He was their best forward last night, at least in that category. Like, holy cow. How can things get worse when they're this stale? And that is really the biggest indictment to me on the GM. It's that I don't for a second think he's not trying to make the roster better. But, man, it kind of looks like that, doesn't it? It looks almost lazy just to bring Larson back and bring Girgensons back and bring all of this dead weight on the bottom of the roster and not find a way to get Bogosian off your roster. and not find a way to get Scandella out of here and not find a way to trade Ristolainen. Because other teams around the league, they find ways to do things like that. And even if not all of them are smart, like Toronto, for instance, they gave up a first-round pick to get Patrick Marleau off their team because of his cap hit. And maybe that's not the smartest thing in the world, but hell, they're trying to help out their situation by doing that. They're doing something. And we're back to, Bulldog writes an article early in the week, do something, Jason. We're really back to that. We're back to the Darcy Vergeer days, where we're just hoping something happens. Not even the right thing, anything. I'm thinking about them this morning, and, you know, I want them to be smart, and I want them to be analytical, and I want them to build their blue line like a good modern NHL team where it's all about passing, and it's all about puck movement, and it's all about just getting the puck up to your forwards, not worrying as much about what they're going to do if somebody runs your goaltender. That's what I want to worry more about. But, holy cow, like if they came out tomorrow and said, we're going to build the toughest team in the NHL, I might just throw my hands up and say, fine, whatever, because at least it's different than what we're doing right now. And that stinks. I'm thinking about Braden Holtby this morning. That's like my least favorite idea in the world, is trading an asset for a goaltender and then paying that goaltender big money. Because guess what? Holtby is a free agent at the end of the year. It's kind of like the Ben Bishop situation in Tampa from a couple years ago. Ben Bishop, great goalie in Tampa. They went to the playoffs. Vezina nominee. But, hey, here comes Andre Vasilevsky, a good young goalie that they invested in, and he's on his way, and he's close, and he's about to take over that net. Here comes Bishop's contract. Got to move him off the roster, because otherwise we're going to lose him for nothing, because this net is Vasilevsky's next year. Kind of what's going on in Washington right now. Here comes Ilya Samsonov. Struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year. He's been better than Holtby, actually. Holtby struggled. Here comes Samsonov, and Holtby's got 1 year left in his contract. He's 30 years old, which is like 7 years older than Samsonov. Pretty likely that they're going to move the net to him. So will they do that same thing? Because Tampa, when they traded Bishop, they were going to the playoffs. Washington's going to the playoffs. They'd have to trust the young guy enough, I guess. But you telling me he couldn't be had? And you know why I'm thinking about that? Because I'm just so desperate for a competitive hockey team that I'd be willing, and I would maybe accept the idea of doing something that is so dumb to do on your salary cap long term, like that, because it would probably make them a lot better. It would at least increase their chances of being a really good team right away. Because even though it's been a couple years since Holtby was like at a like an elite level in net, he's capable of it. And man, this team, like, if they're not going to do it on the ice, if they're not going to be a good possession team, and if they're not going to be a legitimately good team, then you need to make up for it in the net. And they don't have two goalies that are capable of that right now. Like, sometimes, you know, a bad team makes the playoffs because their goalie just carries them in. Sabres have done that. Ryan Miller, Hasek, like, it happens all the time. It happens in the league right now. But the Sabres don't even have that capability. That's how desperate I am just for a good team. Just a team that you can have any sort of faith in. We saw a flash in the pan last year with that month of November. We saw another flash in the pan the first month of this season. And it's like they keep tugging you along, and they keep making you think that maybe this year could be the year. And you know where I'm at? I'm left at, I think, the same point that I ended up getting to with the Bills during the drought. Where it's like, you know what? I'm almost dead inside with them. I'm almost like, yeah, just let me know when you're good. Like, I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to get low until you legitimately prove to me that you can make the playoffs. Which is, by the way, not even the bar that we started this whole thing over. 7 years ago. Long time, right? But 7 years ago, Darcy Vergeer said the word suffering. Did anybody think it was going to be this long? Did anybody think it was going to be this bad? Darcy, you know he didn't think it was going to be that bad. He probably thought he was going to keep his job through it. But that suffering word, it's been 7 years. Remember what the bar was when they were talking about that? Because, you know, I accepted that. I was on board. Because what did that mean? I watched that Darcy Vergeer press conference over the summer. So just remind yourself of like what the original goal of this whole thing was. And I don't even think this is part of the whole thing. I think the whole thing of suffering and rebuilding, that should have been over years ago. Like, now they're just in flux. Now I don't even know what they're supposed to be. But what was it? It was to raise the bar. For years, they had been hovering around playoff contention. The moment Drury and Briere walked out the door, for 5 years, it was just get in. That was the bar. And suffering meant we're raising the bar. We're going to go to the bottom because we're sick of just being the eighth seed. We want to win a Stanley Cup. We want to be a legitimate contender. And fast forward 7 years, and what's maybe the most amazing thing about how bad this whole thing has been is what I wouldn't give just to get back to get me in as the eighth seed. We're right back to that spot, but this time they can't even come close to it. I guess they're close right now. They're a point out. Maybe it's not as bad as we make it sound, but it seems that way. They lost at home in their own building last night by 3 goals to the worst team in hockey. Minnesota was dead last. Their coach is on his last legs. It's amazing to me that Bruce Boudreau has not been fired yet. They're an old team. They are not a good team. And they had their backup goalie in, who got pulled the last 2 starts he had. And they beat you by 3 in your own building. And it wasn't fluky. It's not like, hey, a couple goals went in off a couple of legs. They controlled that game. Look at the shot chart from last night. Minnesota, it's all in front of the net. It's all in the slot. It's all grade A chances. The Sabres spread out along the wall, and it's just like, oh, you didn't just get beat by the worst team in hockey in your own building. You got controlled. And then I got Brandon Montour in postgame talking about how the captain, Jack Eichel, like, what else does this guy got to do? He's fighting one of the players on the Wild. It's down 3-0. He's trying to fire up his team, I'm sure, in a way. I'm sure a lot of it's also just frustration on his part. And Montour's out here saying last night that the team didn't even respond to that. Then that's when you know your team is lifeless right now. And you need a sweeping change. And that's why maybe it wasn't just about individuals when roster surgery was being talked about in the offseason. It was just get a different group of guys in there. It's contagious. See how pumped Brandon Montour was after that goal last night when he made it 3-1 with 2 minutes left? That's going to fade. That's going to fade if this keeps going. It happens to them all. Beaulieu is out here talking about yesterday. Nathan Beaulieu, former Sabre, now with the Winnipeg Jets. He's saying, like, yeah, Ryan O'Reilly was dead accurate. He was right on. It is depressing to be on that team because of how bad it is. Robin Leonard talking about the cloud of negativity in the arena. These guys aren't wrong. Like, it might be tough to hear it, and you might want to root against them for saying stuff like this, but there's obviously something to it. And that's another, a whole nother reason. And I'm not a big culture guy, but that's a whole nother reason. You just needed to make sweeping changes, and it hasn't happened. Ristolainen's still playing minutes. Big minutes. McCabe still playing big minutes. Larson's still here. Gearson's still here. Sobotka's still here. I've said Sobotka twice. He's because he's the most infuriating to me. He's still here. It's a tough spot to be in. And what do? I don't know. The GM's got to do something. That's where we're at. So I loop this point back around to, we're at a point where I don't even know if I really care what they do. Just do something. Because they are losing their fan base.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.